Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking to Dr. Steve Wellham about his Systematic Theology, Volume 1. We are in the middle of Chapter 10, where we are discussing the doctrine of inerrancy and infallibility. We've worked through some preliminary matters, and now we have come, at the end of the previous interview, to the matter of definitions and distinctions. So let's take that up now. Steve, drill down for us on definitions. You begin with Paul Feinberg's definition from the ICBI literature. And let me read that. Inerrancy means that when all the facts are known, the scriptures in their original autographs and properly interpreted will be shown to be wholly true in everything that they affirm, whether that has to do with doctrine or morality or with social, physical, or life sciences. Okay, that's a pretty packed statement. So let's work through each of the clauses in there and each of the phrases. First of all, the qualifying phrase, when all the facts are known. Inerrency means when are known, scriptures.
Yeah. So when, you know, Paul Feinberg's definition is often taken out of that ICBI literature as a good definition. There's many definitions that people give in a variety of books, but I think it captures things well. And when he begins with this, when all the facts are known, it's an acknowledgement that our affirmation of inerrancy is not based upon that we can demonstrate every archaeological point or every historical point or so on, that there's more research to be done. There still are challenges that are brought against the trustworthiness of scripture in certain matters, especially when it touches history and science and so on. But the affirmation here is when all the facts are known is that as we know more, right? And we don't, everything we know from science, archaeology, history is incomplete. We're always unearthing some new discovery. We're finding some civilization or pottery or something of another group from the ancient civilization. Oh, before that, if we had knowledge, if we based our knowledge on, say, what we had in the end of the 1800s, then we would draw false conclusions because we've discovered more facts, right? So it's an acknowledgement. We affirm scripture's authority and inerrancy on the basis of its own say-so. We expect that it will be reliable. We can show that it's reliable in terms of history, archaeology, science, and so on. Yet those disciplines are incomplete. And so we have to wait until all the facts are known. Now, with that said, right, I mentioned and others have mentioned that over the years, as archaeology has taken place, for instance, just one example, we've seen an unbelievable confirmation of scripture. It's not at every point. There's still questions that are still out there that people raise. But I love to give the example of the Hittite civilization, so that at the end of the 1800s, that people said, well, this is just a mythological, fictitious people only found in the Bible. And then I think it was 1906, they were unearthed, and suddenly, oh my goodness, the Hittites actually did exist. The Bible actually is true on this matter. So if you lived before 1900s, you'd say, well, I can't believe in inerrancy because the Bible's wrong about the Hittites. If you live after 1906 or so on, you say, sure, the Bible's actually accurate on all these matters. So that's what Feinberg's definition is getting at. And that's very helpful, right? Our basis for our view of inerrancy is the Bible's own claims for itself, the Bible's own teaching. Yet we expect it to show itself to be true because it makes claims for itself to touch history, science, and so on. And we expect that. And that's exactly what we see. Yet these disciplines are incomplete. So we don't hang our and make our view dependent upon the latest of scientific research. That is constantly changing. Yet we do expect that when all the facts are known, the Bible will be shown to be wholly true.